Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind like with Kyle and Sean.
Both of us at the same time. It'd be pretty awkward. Not gonna lie.
Very Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Not what I was going for, but giggity giggity.
Have you seen that movie?
Night at the Roxbury? Absolutely, flutin' dootin', man. Yeah, it's been absolute ages, but I saw that back when it like came out.
That's still one of my top SNL movies.
Is there ones that are higher? And if it is, why is it Corky Romano?
I don't think Corky Romano is SNL funded, is
it? Really?
I don't think it is.
No way.
Look it up. It might
I'm
going to
look it up while you talk.
I'm trying to think what else is there. There's The Ladies' Man, which is pretty okay.
Yeah, yeah, that was definitely something in the 90s.
It's got
one
of the jokes in that movie has stuck with me forever, where he's interviewing for like the church radio position, and the priest says, "It says here your hobbies are dabbit," and he goes, "Oh no, that's da butt." It's like, oh man, that's so good.
Oh man.
I
don't even know how I would know if this was. Like, I'm on IMDb right now. I have no idea. Honestly, I don't even care that much.
Sure.
Let's just say, Corky Romano, do you want it to be part of SNL or not?
Just look, is Lorne Michaels a producer?
Oh man, that takes away my fun here.
That'll let you know right there.
Producer. Why the hell is there... I don't know. No Lorne Michaels.
Yeah.
Well, that was a whole lot of nothing for people to listen to me clicking around and trying to figure out who's a producer.
I'm trying to think what else... what other SNL movies are... Oh, Wayne's World is SNL, and I fucking love that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's probably higher.
Yeah.
For sure.
Man, I don't know if, like, what else is there? Master of Disguise? That's not a hot steaming pile of dog shit. But Dana Carvey.
That's not SNL.
No.
Superstar is SNL.
Yo, yes. Molly Shannon. I was just trying to think of what one that was. Yeah.
I used to know so many of these because I do enjoy Night at the Roxbury a lot.
SNL movies. I'm pulling up a list.
Yeah, let's get it going.
Okay. So SNL movies.
I think the Never Stop Stopping pop star is an SNL movie, maybe.
Oh, whoa. The Blues Brothers.
That's an SNL one? Yeah, I guess it is because they're SNL characters. That's pretty sweet. That must have been one of the early days.
So we got Bob Roberts, Wayne's World. Yeah. I'm actually on a list of, I'm going from best to worst Rotten Tomatoes style.
Bob Roberts is the top? I don't even know what the fuck that is.
It's number one. Yeah, it came out in 1992. Synopsis is millionaire conservative Bob Roberts, Tim Robbins, launches an insurgent campaign against incumbent Senator Brickley Paste, firing up crowds, blah de blah. I'm not clicking on that link. Number two, Wayne's World.
Sure.
Three, Blues Brothers.
Okay.
Wayne's World 2.
Yeah. High up there as well.
MacGruber.
Okay. Yeah. MacGruber is an SNL flick. A lot of people hate that movie. I like it.
I haven't watched it. I would definitely watch that though. Blues Brothers 2000. Coneheads.
Oh, Coneheads rules. That is SNL too. Yeah. That movie kicks ass.
Yup. Superstar. Ladies Man. Night at the Roxbury. Man, that is low.
Yeah. People hated it. It's a love-hate thing.
Wow.
I love that movie, though. It's so dumb.
11%. Stuart Saves His Family, and yeah, it's Pat.
And Pat. Oh, yeah, it's Pat. So not as many as I thought, and I did know most of those. But I think that, like, SNL movies, definitely, they're a niche market.
Sorry, dog was going ballistic. Yeah, definitely a niche market. It's like if you want to just have a cheap laugh, I guess.
Yeah.
Which isn't ever any good usually. Like half of those, It's Pat. Just looking at the cover of It's
Pat. Oh, It's Pat sucks.
Wow, 1994. This looks, the cover of this looks like something that someone made in like 2015.
Yeah, you know, the whole joke about Pat is that you don't know if it's a boy or a girl. That's the whole joke. They made a movie out of that. It was just a fucking skit.
Wait, that's the whole joke?
That's the whole joke of Pat. You don't know. That's why it's called It's Pat. You don't know. Is Pat a boy or a girl? Ha ha! Ah, I'm Pat. I'm fat and weird. Ha ha! That's literally it.
That's awful.
Yeah, I'm glad that's the bottom. That is one of the worst things I've ever seen. It's terrible, dude.
I mean, it is kind of crazy that Night at the Roxbury is the next one up. But
yeah,
those 12 are the SNL movies. Wow, what an incredible waste of 5 minutes.
It was,
hey, everybody.
It was a good padding. I was just sitting here thinking, given the chance, I think 10 times out of 10, I'd watch a Happy Madison production over an SNL production.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Even the bad ones, I would watch.
I don't know. I think the lows of Happy Madison might be, if It's Pat's the worst of the SNL stuff, and that is pretty bad, man, Happy Madison has like Deuce Bigelow 2. It has Jack and Jill. That movie's awful. I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
Hey, I saw that in theaters.
You saw that in theaters?
I saw that in theaters, yeah, dude.
Absolute garbage, dude.
Man, I laughed my ass off.
You laughed your ass off? I could see it, yeah. I mean, I've laughed too. It's just so fucking insane and ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah. That came out at a really weird time, but man, okay. So
dude, I've laughed.
I think people will say that I don't have a leg to stand on because I haven't seen Jack and Jill because I'm smart. And yeah. I heard immediately how it was like one of the worst things ever made. I still think if I were just going off of synopsises alone, I still would rather watch that than It's Pat.
It's Pat, you think?
Yeah. Yep. Just putting them up next to each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. We should rank all of the Happy Madison movies.
I would do that.
Like create a list of it. We've got to go. We've got to find what the actual best one is. And that will require me to watch like the ones that I haven't seen, like in its entirety, like Billy Madison. Haven't seen that in its entirety.
What?
And I guess I don't have to really watch anything else because that's like, like what's going to be up there? Little Nicky? No, it's not.
I used to love Little Nicky, but like it's a bad movie.
8 Crazy Nights. I guess that could actually like, be pretty okay.
You're also talking like we get Joe Dirt.
The fine Joe Dirte.
But then we get Joe Dirt 2 at some point.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen Joe Dirt in a long time, but I have fond memories.
Joe Dirt, man, it's like, it's a rotating top three between that, Billy Madison, and Happy Gilmore.
Really?
I fucking love Joe Dirt, man.
That's right up there for you?
Yeah.
Okay. This guy's got to go back and watch that. Man, I just saw a couple of years ago.
David Spade. Joe Dirt up.
What? Yeah, I'll do Joe Dirt next week. Wait, yeah, we have something planned.
I think I'm going to be out of town next week. I didn't know it.
You're out of town?
Yeah, I think so. So, I think I'm out from like Tuesday to Friday. So,
all right.
And then you're out like the next week, right?
No, we will have an on week between then, but then I'll be out.
Okay. And then you'll have the next week. Okay. Yep. That works out.
Yeah. All right. But, well, I watched a David Spade rather recently where he, he plays this, either plays this dad. Oh, fuck. Never mind.
No, tell me. Let's figure it out.
There's not enough to even get through here. What is it? Father of the year? Dad of the year?
Is he in that? I thought that was Adam Sandler with Andy Samberg.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh no, he's in here. David Spade is in. Yes, it is. David Spade and Nat Faxon, whatever.
Okay.
Yep. Father of the Year. It's pretty good. Where he just plays kind of a loser dad. And,
is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, because I think he has like an exclusive Netflix thing now.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed that movie.
I liked the other one where like David Spade and like Adam Sandler's a spy, and David Spade's like his nerdy high school buddy, and gets caught up in like.
I don't think I've seen that.
That was a pretty good one. That's a Netflix one.
Did we do the mystery movie there that Adam Sandler did with Jennifer Aniston?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's a pretty good movie. Well, is it? I wouldn't say it's a pretty good movie. It's a serviceable mystery.
Sure. I like a mystery. I like Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
And are we going to do the Happy Madison run through?
I mean, I kind of want to, because even looking at Father of the Year, pulling it up, it's got a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is higher than almost all of the SNL movies.
There's some garbage for sure.
Yeah.
Oh man. I do have Wayne's World. I'm remembering that.
It is one of those things, though, where, like, how many movies do they have, dude?
Oh, a lot now. Especially, like I said, with that Netflix thing. And, like I said, there's, like, Joe Dirt. It's not just stuff that Adam Sandler is in. Like,
yeah.
I think Deuce Bigelow is. I'm pretty sure that's a Happy Madison.
Wow.
And The Animal. I think The Animal is also.
The Animal is definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
That was at the theater I worked at. I saw that a lot. And that's the main chick in that is like from Survivor.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, they've put out so much stuff. Actually, Happy Madison doesn't even include Happy Gilmore or
Billy I don't Madison. Think they were. I think those were produced before him.
Yeah.
And I think that's why his production company is called that, because he didn't put it together until after that. Mm-hmm. But I would, since the name is in both of them, I would include both of them in the Happy Madison universe.
Okay, so we know two of the top three movies. This is bury the lead here.
For sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, we know going in what's at the top, but I like the idea of like coming in and just like with like a list of like one through however many, there's like 30, and then we just start with one and we're like, all right, I feel this is like maybe 15 right now, and then like as we put more in, we're gonna have to adjust it. I like that idea.
7 28 33 132.
There's so many. What, you're up to like, I can't, I almost said a number.
52, dude.
52. Dude, that's a 52. Full year. 52 weeks in a fucking year. That's a full fucking year.
Here for that.
Dude.
Yo, a Happy Madison year?
Holy Holy shit.
Yeah.
Experience a year of Happy Madison. It'd be a thing, man. We should try to get set up and like somehow YouTube something. That would be a thing, dude.
That could be a thing. I'm honestly, I'm looking at this and I've seen a good half of these movies.
Oh, I'm sure. I've seen a lot of them. But I mean, we're going to have to watch them again.
I definitely haven't seen You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah, but I will watch the shit out of that.
Holy shit, I have not seen that either.
Dude, The Wrong Missy? That movie rules.
I've seen that. That's David Spade.
Yeah. Hubie Halloween, classic.
Yeah, we've seen that. Isn't there a second one of those?
Hubie Halloween, no.
Oh, I thought
there might be one coming out, I guess.
But... Yeah, I guess maybe there's another one coming out.
Man, I saw a video a couple of weeks ago. Strange Wilderness.
That's Happy Madison. Let's
yeah, go. Dude. And you don't mess with the Zohan?
I knew that one.
Dude, I watched a video a couple of weeks ago where it, like, I think this new trend on videos is taking one famous person and being like, this is them at age 20, 21, 22, 23, right? And it lists either, you know, if it's a wrestler, it kind of shows their looks. But if it's an actor, it's like showing what films they were in those years and that age. And man, like, I watched one of Adam Sandler. And it's just like going through the years and realizing like he was like 50 when Grown Ups came out. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't click to me.
The Grown Ups movie.
Yeah, dude, I unabashedly love the first one.
I know you do. And that this will be interesting for us to watch them because you do love. I know the first one, at least
the Dennis Dugan classic.
The Dennis Dugan classic Grown Ups. Oh, Jesus. Oh, God.
Ain't nobody claiming that. Man, he did the Benchwarmers too. Dennis Dugan.
I love the Benchwarmers. That movie sucks in such a good way. That's a happy Madison. Let's go.
Yeah,
dude.
Let's
go, baby.
Saw that one in theaters too. There was so many movies when I saw that, like, there was a Happy Madison movie coming out. I saw that shit in theaters.
If you want to know how dumb Benchwarmers is, Rob Schneider is the tough guy in the movie.
Yes, dude. It is kind of weird.
He's also next to John Heater. As John Heater and David Spade.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. John Heater's really good in that.
Man, David Spade's fucking bowl cut in that.
That's so fucking good. He's got the best wigs. He's got the bowl cut. He's got the Joe Dirt mullet. He's got the bald cap and Tommy Boy.
Oh my God! In a fucking the Benchwarmers. Who's the dude that had the kit car? The rich guy. What's his name?
It's John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. Yeah, uh-huh.
I love John Lovitz.
Man,
he was on Bill Burr a couple weeks ago, and like the whole episode is just them two making fun of each other and like visceral ways and just cracking up. It's so hilarious, dude.
That's great. You gotta send that to me after so I can listen to it.
So fucking good, man.
Hell yeah, man. I wish I could go back to a time where it's 2006 and I'm just going to the movies and watching dumb shit like this and pink, like Steve Martin's Pink Panther, and like not a care in the world. And I'm an adult and life sucks, man.
Yeah. I was telling him the other day, we were talking about Napoleon Dynamite, and I saw that in theaters, and I remember telling him about me and my buddies going, and we got high in the van in the parking lot before we went and saw it. And I was like, it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. I cracked up. The only movie I think I've maybe laughed harder at for real was when I saw 40-Year-Old Virgin in theaters, man. And the Jackass movies, but those are a league above. They don't really count.
That's different.
Yeah.
That's like going out with your best friends and just cracking up.
Dude, I cried at like all three Jackass movies from laughter. Absolutely losing it. I saw all of those in theaters and like just opening night, the most packed stuff. It was so electric. Everybody just losing their shit.
They could come out with another Jackass in a month and I'm going to see that in theaters.
Did you see the newest one with the new cast?
I did see the newest one.
That one was pretty good. I really liked it.
It was really good. Like, that dude that got launched into that big old, Poopy? The rotund guy that launched
into
the cactus.
Yeah.
I followed that guy on social media for a while before he got on that movie. And it was really nice to see that he made it on there. But then you see him in that movie and you're just like, you feel sad a little bit. It's like you see the Jackass crew, right? The OGs, and it's like a bunch of friends and they're all just doing dumb shit together. And like some people go a little bit worse, but man, this dude just like shit on me.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like, don't even like me. Just treat me like shit.
I thought that I was going to miss your call. I thought I was going to be late because honestly, I was downstairs when I texted you. I've been watching all of the Jackass series because they have them on Paramount. And I was down there, we were watching it, and I was like, God damn it, all right, I gotta go record Rashawn.
Oh, dude, that's hard. I wouldn't have been mad if you were like, I just can't.
Dude, Jackass, and it's great because it's like all of the shit, because forever, like, you couldn't get some of the first season, like the first episode where like he gets tased and everything, but that shit is on there now.
That's
it's so fucking great. Oh.
Does Paramount own MTV now?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought.
So I hope that we can watch Viva La Bam next.
That would be pretty sick, especially the earlier seasons.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
Yeah, that was
One of my favorite episodes of TV is the one where him and the Bloodhound Gang have the fucking scavenger hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
Yep.
That episode is so fucking good.
I love that show so much when I was younger. It's like a show you would never get away with in your own life. And it's like, get it, Bam.
That was that and Wild Boys used to be like an hour block on a Sunday night on MTV. And I used to go to my buddy's house every Sunday night and we'd like get high and watch both those shows. It fucking ruled.
That's one show that I wish that Wild Boys is one show that I wish that I was at that time and place that I like watched that. But at that time in my life, I was just like, I was all out every night over at friends. We were never like watching TV or anything. So by the time I did get around to watching it, I was like, what is this? But I hear so much awesome stuff about that show.
Here's the thing. I love both those shows. Wild Boys is the only one I own every episode on DVD of.
That's awesome. I mean, I love Chris Pontius and Steve-O.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, that show is fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah. Chris was so underrated on Jackass.
I love Pontius. He's...
Who's your favorite? What did he have? Party Boy?
I love Party. I went as Party Boy for Halloween one year.
That's amazing.
And I had the full, I had the breakaway pants and the thong and everything.
That's
and
the bow tie. Incredible. That is incredible. You could still pull it off right now if you went to a party. Well, okay. Hold on. Hit pause. You couldn't pull that off right now. But if you went to like a Halloween party of just like aged people, everybody would know what that meant.
Had to be people of our age.
Yes. And also, they'd be like, Kyle, put your pants back on, please.
What the fuck?
What is that?
But yeah, it's been real enjoyable. Fucking Jackass ruled.
That's awesome, man. Man, we really got into it on this one. Man, I feel like all the time we're like, let's just get to it a little early. Let's keep this short. And it's, you never can. And that's okay.
But
that's okay.
I don't know. This one, this week we covered, you, some might call it a real gem of a movie. I'd say it was a real pearl.
Real pearl.
Yeah.
Oh, that was real nice. Nice. Man.
But no, pearl. This week we covered Pearl, which was the prequel to X, which we covered like what, 2 weeks ago?
Yep, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Dropped X, Potpourri last week, just because I didn't want to miss watching this movie with Sarah, and we were able to watch it this afternoon.
Yeah. It was also funny, it was on your YouTube, and I logged in, and all of your videos are just board games.
Yeah, board games.
Different board game playthroughs, and I was like, this is Sean shit. So many of them are like an hour long, and they're like halfway through, and I'm like, oh yeah, I've been there. And you're gonna come back and you're gonna finish it. It's good stuff.
Yep. That or Blood on the Clock Tower games or
There were like three Blood on the Clock Tower videos.
Yeah. Yep. You'll know it's my YouTube when
it's chuckled.
Nothing useful on it, and this is why I pay for YouTube premium.
That's your in the profile picture, it's you and your sister, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was before Mandy had ever met Sarah, we were logging into my YouTube, but yours is always there too. And she's like, oh, is that Sarah? I go, the girl that looks like Sean with long brown hair? No, I don't think that's Sarah.
Oh, man. Like, if you saw the full picture of that, it's actually, it's her, me, and my dad.
Yeah, I can see your dad on the edge too.
If you were to zoom in, all three eyes are the exact same color, the exact same shape. It's like honestly kind of weird.
Literally exactly the same. If your hair, like now, if you guys took a picture with your hair this length and stood next to each other, for sure.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's really weird. We both got my dad's genes.
For sure. 100%.
For sure.
But,
yeah. So this was on the YouTube, which.
Yeah.
The only. Okay. I'll say I hate it when we go to do a movie and it's like difficult to find. Like, man, this is the prequel to X, right?
Yeah.
And X is easy to find on some service.
Yeah.
But then Pearl isn't even on the same service.
It's so stupid.
It's the prequel that came out later, 6 months after X did, but it's on Showtime. And so, okay. So I looked it up. I'm like, okay, Pearl streaming. And it's like Hulu with premium. And I'm like, okay, well, let me see what that means. So I go in and I click on it. It's like, oh, you need Paramount Plus. So I went back in and I got a free trial to Paramount Plus. I'm like, sick, I'll cancel this later. And I go back to Hulu and I go to click on it. It's like, no, you also need Showtime. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So instead of signing up for something I'm going to forget to cancel,
yeah,
I just rented that shit.
Man, circling back, though, you got that free trial of Paramount Plus. That's where Jackass is on. Go watch it, dude. Yeah,
let's fucking go.
Go watch that shit. Get hype. That's going to be awesome.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, man, dude.
I originally first got Paramount Plus. Man, we're already on a tangent again.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
So I originally got onto Paramount Plus a couple years ago when it came out because it had like all the old Nickelodeon like game shows and stuff. I don't even need it now. Now that my TV, my Samsung, has that Samsung TV or whatever that yours has.
Yeah, right?
So it's got like, it's got a Legend of the Hidden Temple channel that just plays it nonstop. Rules, right? Supermarket Sweep. Yeah. Don't even need it. I just need a Jackass channel.
I wish that they did. Although you'll find, like, I think there's only 3 seasons of the show.
Yeah. But there's like 20 episodes in each one.
Yeah. But that's why I was just telling Mandy this because I was reading about it. That's why they had to switch to movies because, like, they were getting so many lawsuits from parents because it was just on TV. That they're like, well, if we make it movies, we can at least push the R rating that like kids shouldn't be watching it. Like it's on the parents at that point for sure. Like,
so they were getting lawsuits aimed at them?
Oh, tons of it, because kids were getting hurt doing this shit. MTV was getting like lawsuit threats and all kinds of shit.
I thought you meant fucking the Jackass boys.
Oh, I'm sure they were too, because I mean they were involved. They were probably named in the lawsuits.
Dumb.
That's how that shit works. America! Speaking of America, that's not America. It's New Zealand, but it's supposed to be downtown America.
Mm-hmm.
Urban town America. Pearl was a real gem of a flick. She's a real swell gal.
She's a psychopath. There's something wrong with this girl. Man, it is wild to watch X and then come back to this.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of glad that I did.
100%.
Actually, I don't know if I would have rather watched this than X, like, first, because at least if I watched this first and then I went to X, I would have had some understanding of, like, who she was and what kind of her motivation was or, like, what the fuck was going on. Instead, as we described, it was like, she's this an old person that, like, why am I scared of this old person? Well, then you watch Pearl and you're like, oh, snap, she's fucked.
She got shit done, dude.
God damn, man. God damn. This movie basically opens with her, like, beating the animals in the barn and all of that stuff. And the house looks mad familiar. The barn looks mad familiar. And, you know, obviously you find out why later. But then she's in there and she's, you know, she's playing with a pitchfork and it's in the barn. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's like kind of calling ahead to what she does to homeboy producer, director guy in the next movie. You know, the pitchfork in the barn. And then, oh, hey, little Goosey, what are you?
What's up, Mr. Goose?
What's up, Mr. Goose? She just murders Mr. Goose and feeds it to the alligator.
Old Tandy.
Oh, my fucking God, dude.
Yeah. All of her animals are named after actors that she was fans of, including the alligator. She was named after Tandy Newton.
Yeah.
Which is a great touch, too, because I love that the alligator existed back then. And that's why, like, Pearl knows how to feed her, because she's been feeding her, like, her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Because alligators live a long fucking time, man.
Dude, I was going to Google that in the middle of watching the movie, but, like, the first time I went to look something up, the Polaroid flew out of her pocket and I had to rewind the movie. And I'm like, I'm done looking at my phone. But man, Is it the same gator?
I think it's supposed to be. Maybe not.
Well, what were those eggs that she found? Were those gator eggs? Do gators have eggs?
Yeah, gators lay eggs.
So were those gator eggs that she found and she crushed one of them?
I think so, maybe.
Because she was going to put a gator. So if that's the case, she wanted a gator to hatch in the barn to fuck up all of her animals, huh? Man.
Probably, at least the chickens.
Folks, if you haven't seen this movie, go watch this movie. Jump through all the fucking hurdles that I had to jump through to watch this movie. Sign up for 3 services just to rent it anyways.
Just for that.
Because
I don't know. Throwing cards on the table here. I'm glad you rented it, man. I like this movie more than X, and I still do. I think this movie is fucking awesome.
I will get there.
Sure. Because I was talking to Ryan about this loosely, because he likes X better, and so does Lanham, because they describe it. It's to them, and it is, X is like a 70s slasher flick. And I think that's why I like this movie more, because this one is a lot more slow burn, psychological. I love that this one is like super stylized. Like, it's really oversaturated. Like, the colors are super bright because she sees herself in like this Hollywood movie. And it's sort of supposed to evoke that, like, it's got a very Wizard of Oz feel.
Okay, so almost. This is one of the first things that I mentioned, like, because I was kind of talking out loud as things struck me so that I could kind of remember them to talk about later on. And that's one of the first things that I said to Sarah. I'm like, wow. Well, in the first scene when she's wearing like that pinkish red gown, like the colors were very muted. It was very muted in like a 1940s-ish way. And then once she goes outside, everything's over super hyper saturated in the way that like colorized movies, you could only really attain with those colorized movies where people are making things pop. And it really did give the vibes of very early movies, complete with like when they're going through the opening credits and just, it's hard to describe, but they almost like curl onto the screen.
Yeah.
In a way that you don't see
anymore. Yeah, it's really well done. It helps set the tone and the feel of the movie really well.
Which is wild because you see a movie like that and you think of it and it almost, like my feelings when I see something like that, something that invokes the memories of those movies is, oh, wow, this is going to be a whimsical time. It's going to be a good time. And it really gives you this false sense of security of like, oh, wow, this is going to be a good movie. Oh, dear Lord, what the fuck just happened? Mm-hmm. And it just like pulls everything back. And it's like, it's really weird to see some really grotesque things like maggots crawling all over a pig in this, the way that this is shot. It's very hard to describe.
Like I said, it's very stylized. It's got, and it does use that imagery. I call it like the classic Disney imagery, like that bed knobs and broomsticks, Mary Poppins style, where Technicolor is kind of where like they would add color over on the film cell to make the stuff really bright. That's what this is shot and lit in that style. I was saying too, it's wild to me after watching both these movies again that like these movies are made by like essentially the same fucking people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so different in their style and their tone and their delivery.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy. I love that shit. Pearl though, yeah, it's wild. I wasn't so much of a fan of Mia Goth and X as Maxine. But man, I thought she fucking shines as Pearl, dude. She is crazy captivating.
It blows my mind that I just watched X 2 weeks ago. And with, again, Mia Goth playing Maxine. And here I am watching her 2 weeks later play another character in Pearl, knowing that it's a connected world and being being in complete believement that it's two completely different characters. Like, not once while watching this movie was I like, I don't know. She's Maxine in the other movie. Like, she nails it in this, and they do such... I think it really benefits from having a night and day presentation, because it takes you out of the world enough to believe that she's playing a completely... This is a completely different person.
It's what... Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
I was just gonna... Mia Goth fucking crushes it, man. I do want to see her in more stuff. I really, you know, I thought she was great in these, and I just want to stretch out more, because... Especially Pearl, man. Like, dude, those times, like, after she kills the people and she's like, she's got that primal scream that she lets loose in their face, mm-hmm. is fucking insane.
Yep. And then she has this... Oh, man. The character that they built here is really good and really strong. It has so much depth to it, because she goes through, like, these stages of, like, feeling normal, trying to hold it back. You know, getting out those killings when she thinks nobody's looking on small animals. And then it builds when she feels like everything's abandoning. Kills, lets it all out, and then, like, tries to backpedal, or there's some guilt there. Because
I think Pearl is very much a woman driven by impulses, mm-hmm. and she hates her isolation on the farm. She has dreams of herself as something bigger, which is, I think, something a lot of people can aspire to. I think that's one of the worst, craziest parts about this movie, is like, on a like how much you can relate to Pearl. And so I guess to a degree too, a lot of the joke title of this movie on the internet is Joker for Girls, because I guess like how a lot of dudes can relate to like Joker, especially like the loneliness of the Joaquin Phoenix one. A lot of girls relate to Pearl, like, just because of like her isolation on the farm, her mother being such an overbearing, controlling bitch that obviously doesn't like her and like treats her terribly, mm-hmm. and like being stuck on the farm with that, and like your father is basically what, invalid? Like, is that the word?
He's basically, his brain is
fried from the Spanish flu, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and he's stroked out, and he can't move. He sits in a wheelchair, and it's the three of them out on the farm. And again, this is during the Spanish flu of like 1918, but it was written during our COVID-19 pandemic. The story is, when they were shooting Maxine, when they went to New Zealand to shoot it, you know, that was back when everybody had to go through a 2-week quarantine time. So during that time, Maxine and the director, or not Tia Maxine, West. But...
Or Ty West, whatever. And Mia Goth.
Yeah, Mia Goth. They would FaceTime, and like, they made up this such an elaborate story for the old lady and Maxine, that like they basically had a complete separate movie that I get. They also pitched to A24 that greenlit it before this movie was even finished, before Maxine was even finished.
Fantastic. They already
greenlit Pearl, because they had, I guess, so much of it like already mapped out, and they could shoot at the same location. They could keep the same crew, and just, so they just knocked them both out, which is insane on a pure filmmaking, like, appreciation level. And then the like we said, to make them so drastically different, it's also just mind-blowing,
mm-hmm.
to have that kind of vision.
Yeah, to have that forethought to be like, this is what we want to do here, because it's not something that they were able to think of for 5 months, you know? This is things that were done very rapidly, and they were able to have that clear vision of what they wanted to do, and it was just so fantastically done. I didn't even realize until right now that Mia Goth was one of the writers. And you know, what brilliant take, brilliant mind to really put this together. I think, again, like the character of Pearl, even connecting the dots between the films, is a brilliant character in that, like, even what you just said, you know, people could relate to her, and her mother, who's such an unbearable bitch. What's crazy that by the time when they get into the argument and you're like, wow, her mother's terrible. And then you realize that her mother isn't even the, like, the bitch here. You know, she's the one that's like, I see you killing all of these things. Everybody's terrified of you. Blah-dee blah. And it's like, so we're living in this meticulously crafted world through Pearl's eyes, not only in Pearl, but also in X. And I love that I watched X first, where Pearl was talking to Maxine and telling her, like, I used to be a dancer and all of this. And so, like, when you're watching Pearl and you see that there's going to be this dance audition, you're like, okay, so is she going to make it? Blah, blah, blah. She doesn't. And from the way the movie ends, she's never a dancer. There's no way that ever happens. There's, like, she never leaves that farm again. There's no way. And so even in Pearl, she's building you this world and just telling you how she sees it instead of, like, how reality is, because Pearl isn't much a fan of reality.
And again, you understand, she has every reason to not be. She's in isolation on a farm. She's married, but her husband is off fighting in World War One, and she wanted to escape the farm, and that's why she got married to Harold. And Harold, who is from money and wealthy, wanted to live the simple life on the farm. And when he left her, she's stuck there with her parents again. And I didn't, like, the whole time, I didn't really think that her mom is a bitch. Her mom is obviously of German descent, yep. Which, especially at that time in the early 1900s, like, the German people were a very harsh and studious people. And then, like, yeah, she is living in America. They're poor. It's a pandemic. Her husband is basically a vegetable. And she had, like, you really relate to her during her big monologue speech at the end, where she's like, this is not the life I signed up for. I don't have the life I wanted. I wasn't supposed to be wiping your father's mouth every day.
Yep.
You know, I married him to be a man. And now look at him. This is my life. You make the best with what you have. And then, of course,
poor her husband. He's just sitting there. Like, he can process everything that's going on.
He's just stuck in the body.
Yeah. He's just like a quadriplegic. He can't move. He can't move. He's basically paralyzed, but like, poor guy.
But he has the couple times that he is able to, like, show real fear, like, you see him, like, he can at least shake. Because there's the time where she has him with a fucking alligator and she's just like, it's no life for you to live, Papa. And you see the gator coming up and he's getting scared because she's like basically going to kill him.
Yeah.
Until Mama shows up.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then right about, like, when he knows he's going to die and she walks in and you just see, like, the tear run down his face. Man.
It's some wild shit, man. Like I said, I love it because it's the slow descent.
Yep.
And really, man, that final monologue with her sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Like, talking to her like she's her husband.
When she says she's Harold and then she lays everything out. I think it's like a 7-minute fucking speech, dude.
And it's horrendous.
It's heavy shit, dude.
I like that it only cuts to Harold's sister, her sister-in-law, like
a couple of times
in the beginning, because then she starts really spilling everything out and you're like begging. Like, I was sitting there internally begging, please show his sister. I need to see her reaction. And they straight up refused, just keeping it dead set on her face as she's just like, she is sick, man. She is sick and she's just putting it out there and she's reasoning with everything. But also she starts, like, from the beginning of that to the end, she goes through, like, reasoning and then she starts bargaining, like, as if he's there. So she's like, she spends the first half saying, I'm going to get off this farm. There's nothing I want more than to get off this farm, to by the end of it, being like, will you forgive me? I'll make this farm, you know, I'll love you. I'll make this farm like a home for us. And, like, just to see that roller coaster of mental unraveling is so unnerving. And then everything that subsequently follows is absolutely batshit crazy.
I love it. It's so good when, like, she gets up. She's like, well, I think I'm going to have to leave now, Pearl. And Pearl's like, you ain't going to tell nobody, is you? And you're like, oh, girl.
Oh, you done.
But, like, you still have a hope. You know, like, she leaves the house and the camera is just staying on her. And you're like, come on, cut. Like, let's, come on. And it's, you know, like, the longer it stays on her, you just, you know, like, no, girl, no. Yeah. And it's just such a beautiful long shot of Pearl opening the door, casually walking over to the axe, and like her realizing, oh man, it's so good, dude.
Yeah. It was unnerving, that whole scene.
Uh-huh.
Like when she congratulates her on getting the dancing gig, and she's like, I didn't.
Dead in the eyes.
Yeah. And she's like, I didn't get it. And she refuses to believe that she didn't get it because, you know, they needed someone with the X factor and younger. Well,
that was young and blonde.
And blonde, you know, uh-huh. fitting her. And so she refuses it. So basically getting her sister-in-law to be like, yeah, I got it. You'll have to come see. And snap. Uh-huh. Switch flipped. It's, girl, you dead. You dead.
I loved the one that made me the most. I was just like, oh, fuck. Is again when like homeboy hears her mother like trying to climb up the stairs and Pearl's like, no, that's just the dog.
Oh my
god. And
then she's
like, come here, I want to show you something. And they're out in the barn and she's naming all the animals. And he's like, what's the dog's name? And she's like, we don't have a dog. I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
You just see him like, you just said you have a dog.
Yeah.
And you see like she's trying to scramble to come up with something.
Yeah.
And she loses it again there. It's so wild, dude.
Mm-hmm.
The smut film? That was a real smut film from like 1912, I guess.
That was a real one?
Yeah.
No
from
kidding.
Like that actual era. Crazy, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
That was... Okay, so that was something that... In my head... So she's going to this theater because she likes going to the theater to see... The movies, because that's all she wants in the world is to be famous and to be seen and to be
she
part of these films.
Serious escapism.
Yep. Yeah. And so that's her big thing. And she meets the projectionist he describes himself as a bohemian. He just kind of can move from spot to spot and travel mm-hmm. around. And he says, you know, stop in anytime. I'll show you some movies. And so sure enough, after a fight at home, she shows back up at the projectionist's door and he puts on, she's like, I want to watch The Follies. He goes, well, you already saw that. How about something you haven't seen? And I'm like, oh boy, it's going to be a porno, isn't it? Sure enough.
And it was.
Sure enough.
She was into that. No, overall, man. Again, I love the way that it's so hyper-stylized. I love that shot where, like, we see you have the camera flickering on the right side of the screen, and we just pull in tight, and we see Pearl's face, and he's framed perfectly right behind her, like, you know, almost like the devil on the shoulder whispering in her ear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so fucking good. Like I said, the framing is so gnarly. So much of this storytelling that's done. It's so wild. Filmed at the same time, same people.
I like
two drastic different... things.
I like the connection between that and also, you know, the whole plot behind X, where they're trying to take pornography into the next evolution. Because what did the projectionist say? It's illegal now, but it's gonna be the biggest thing.
I want to get ahead of it. I want to get in on it early, which is exactly what homeboy did. Yeah,
exactly. So like, there's this crazy through line that's just running through all of these movies in terms of themes and just reoccurring ideas. Love that a lot.
I'm really excited for Maxine, man.
I am very excited as well. I'm absolutely. This is one of those. I'm glad that we watched these right now because while I didn't see these in theaters, it makes me want to see the third one in theaters. Be like,
I want to see it. Like, I didn't see these till after they were out of theaters too. Like, I saw them streaming later. But yeah, I definitely want to see Maxine in theaters.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to July because that's absolutely going down. I don't even know like where they can go from here. You know, it's like I don't know.
The close-up scenes of like her cutting up the sister-in-law with the axe.
Oh my god!
So brutally awesome.
Yeah, cut off her head and just like joyfully you just toss her.
You see all like the sinew and like the windpipe when she pulls the head. Yeah. It's so brutal and awesome.
And like the smile.
Then she's feeding it to the alligator.
Big ass smile on her face.
Oh.
Oh my god,
dude! The smile at the end when Harold walks in,
dude. Okay, so we got to set the scene here, and I have a question. Okay. You've seen both these movies twice, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, after the whole thing goes down with her sister-in-law, Harold's sister, she's fucking broken, dude. She goes back downstairs. She like starts cuddling with her dead mom downstairs, like brushes her hair, brushes her dad's
hair. Pulls the scalp out. Ah! Yeah.
Sets them up at the dinner table. And then puts and the maggot-infested pig onto the center, like cleans everything up, makes it look beautiful. She sits down. She says our fathers, which is a recurring thing through the movie. And that's about the time that Harold gets home. And he walks in to both of his dead in-laws sitting around a table. And Pearl just being like, Harold, I'm so glad you're home. And I guarantee you, if you haven't seen this movie, I guarantee you've seen the GIF of this or a still image of her staring with this big ass smile, but like her eyes are crazy and watery and teary.
She does cry it's a 2 minute long shot just of her face. Of her holding a smile.
A long shot.
Yeah.
Like
one continuous shot.
It is insane. We sat there and just watched I sat there and watched the whole time. Like Sarah about halfway through was like, I'm done with this. This is too much. But I sat there I gotta see where this goes. Like how long is this? How long does she hold this?
Yeah, it's really good, dude.
Oh, dude.
Yep. And then her and Harold grow old and continue to murder people for many, many years until the events of X.
Okay, so let's clarify. Harold's horrified.
At that point, but I mean, obviously he comes around to some degree.
Is it more so that he comes around or more so that this bitch crazy, she's gonna kill me, and I'm just gonna have to learn to live with this.
I think maybe, but I think also, like, again, Harold's in World War One, which was like a really fucking terrible war.
Horrific.
And I think, like, he just has all that shit that he's bringing from that, too. And I mean, I don't know, it was 1918, dude. there's a great joke in, Always Sunny when they're doing like the episode where they split the Liberty Bell and Charlie and Frank are arguing about killing a guy. And Frank's like, wait a minute, it's 7076. Who gives a shit? We'll get away with it. Nobody gives a shit. We'll fucking blast his brain off right here.
Well, they do. She does go to great lengths to hide all of the evidence for everything. Whether it be putting projectionist's car into... How does that dude have a car?
True, that too. A very nice car. And she does a shit job of hiding it. Like, his body and, like, half of it are just still above the waterline.
Oh, the alligator.
Although I think the alligator was swimming up to him when... I think that... Yeah.
Yeah, Gator ate him. But...
Tandy takes care of it.
Is that the car that they found in X?
I don't think so. I thought it was a different car. I thought it was a more current car that they found in X.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to need to rewatch X again soon because
I guess so too.
I think there's a lot of things that I'm going to be looking for. So she hacked up bodies, fed it to the alligator. She made sure like nothing could really be found for her. I don't know. Okay. So we get a glimpse into the house in X. And into the kitchen. and it is disgusting and full of flies and rot, and it hasn't been used in, it looks like, 50 years. It was that? Was the pig carcass still on the table?
Oh. I don't think so. I'll have to, that's a question for Google, but I don't think so.
Man, because something in my head was like, oh man, is this like part of the reason why that kitchen was so disgusting? Did they just never go into that kitchen again?
Because that would have meant it was there for at least like 50 years.
50 years.
So I don't know, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is a question I will look up on Google after this, though. But
or just save it till next time you watch X. Keep it in the back of your brain.
That's a good point, too. But you want to give this thing a rating, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, right. Boy, do I.
All right. Well, you go ahead, buddy.
Oh, fuck. I'm not ready.
Oh. You don't have one ready to go?
Oh, no, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You are ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Well, you go ahead, then.
Kyle. You're riding your bike home. You're riding your bike home after watching a film and meeting a projectionist, and you're in your favorite your favorite overalls, and you've got that one little frame of the flick that the nice man cut off for you so you could keep a piece of movies with you, and you're riding home, right? And the film flies out and goes into this cornfield, and so you start wandering through a cornfield, and you come up to this very beautiful scare person, okay? A whole field of scare people. And you think to yourself, boy, howdy, am I a horn dog right now? I'm in a fantasy world of horn dogginess.
Yeah.
Kyle, on a scale of 1 to 17 of those scare people in that field, how many scare people are you porking? Man, I wish people could have seen like my reaction to when this happened in the movie and she starts fucking a scarecrow.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because that's what she does to the guy she stabs in the neck and X so many times. She rides him to orgasm too.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a nice callback relation thing as well. Yeah. But for me, out of the 17, man, I think like 15 and a half. I also bone one completely in half, so it's like 15 and a half. You know? Easily.
Oh my god. There's gotta be a scary movie where someone gets cut in half and like one of the dudes is like, well, I'd still get with that bottom half. Yo, it's the scary movie that spoofs Signs.
Oh,
and the dude's wife gets cut in half and he's like, well, did
you still get with her? That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
The only thing I think of is Day of the Dead. When the fucking guy gets ripped in half. Or no, it's... No, it is Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's such a fucking awesome special effects scene. Because he's like pulling his guts in still. He's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That scene rules. But 15 and a half, man. For sure. I don't think this movie is perfect, but goddamn it hits so many of the high notes for me that I really enjoy it. I'd watch Pearl again before I watch X. Even though Pearl... is a bit longer in the tooth. This movie's like an hour 46. I think Pearl was pretty tight, 130.
Pearl's 145.
145. I think X was a tight 130.
I think they're both the same length.
Are they? Yep. Let's see.
I'm already on it.
For me. Yeah.
X is 145 and Pearl is 143.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. 15 and a half. This movie rules. I loved it. I do like it better than X, personally.
Fair. So. Fair.
All right, Sean. Let's say you are having a very, very intense argument with your German mother.
Yeah, as they will.
You guys are tussling, and she steps back in the fireplace, and her dress catches a light, and she's getting burned the absolute hell up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And on the stove, still boiling, is a pot of corn on the cob. And in that bucket, I'm keeping this simple, there's 10 ears of corn on the cob.
Oh, this is beautiful.
out of those 10 ears of corn on the cob, when you pour that boiling water on your mom, how many of those ears hit your on fire mom?
I'm going to even take it one step further, Kyle.
Okay.
When I pour that pot of boiling water onto my mom, which, boy howdy, was that a brutal scene. So I'm like, oh man, her mom's on fire. And then I'm like, oh sweet, she's putting out the fire, that's cool. And I'm like, holy shit, that's boiling water.
it was so fucked up.
Oh man,
I loved it,
dude. If I were to do that, when I dump that out, I would say 9 of those are hitting my mom, and then actually 8 of those are hitting my mom, and then my dog is gonna like chew up another half of one and spit it on her, and then I'm gonna be like, oh no, get down in the basement. Then some dude later is gonna find out I don't have a dog. It's gonna be awkward. So I'd say 8.5. I'd give it 8.5.
Okay.
I also this is one of those movies where I think the more I talked about it and really talked about the feelings about like the character and all of that, I liked it more than initially when the movie ended, because it is very,
it's
like,
hard
when it ends. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, dude.
What did I just watch? But I, I think it's a more well-rounded movie than X, which is crazy. Like, how often do you get like, the subtitle of this kind of air quotes is an extraordinary origin story. Like, how often do you get an origin story that you can think is better than the movie that you're trying to get an origin story on? But a lot to your same points, like, she's not crazy scary in X, but like, having seen this, I think it makes X even better. I think it actually lifts X a little bit higher.
I think so too. Yeah.
Knowing what her character is, but man, there's so many layers to her. They did such a great job of really that slow spiral and that feeling of uneasiness, and just the feeling of uneasiness that you have while watching it. Man, by the end of the movie, you're never quite sure what she's gonna do, because she's just like unwrapping into more of her own delusions and stuff. Like, that dance scene was crazy, and
that dance scene was so awesome with like all the soldiers and the explosions, and
she's in her own fantasy, like fantasy booking this grand show, this grand performance.
So awesome.
I think X is a better movie for Pearl because of Pearl. Yeah. And I think that speaks volume to this movie. And while I don't have any idea where Maxine can possibly go, I cannot fucking wait to see what they do.
Yeah, agree. I'm excited.
So I hope that it flash forwards to like Maxine in like 1986 as like some established porn star or something living.
Something. It's going to be wild.
In the neon glow of
the back streets
of Hollywood or something.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah, it's going to be wild, and I put full trust in them and whatever they're going to do here.
So, but,
yeah.
Yeah, man. I think we'll take next week off. We'll come back, and then we'll take another week off, because we got lives, folks. But until then, go Pearl yourself? Yeah.
Kyle, if you were on fire.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really want to go in the direction of fucked up, but hey, Kyle, if you were on fire and someone was.
Do you like how I was like, yeah, yeah.
And someone's about to put you out with a pot of boiling water. Uh-huh. Would you rather there be corn on the cob boiling in that water that you're getting slapped around with? Or a shitload of hot dogs.
Ooh.
Gonna get some boiled weenies, or are you gonna get some Kobskis?
The glizzies. Oh, I think.
Basically, which way are you gonna die? Would you prefer?
Yeah. I mean, the hot dog water is gonna stink, but the hot dogs, I feel, are gonna be overall less dense than the corn on the cob. But I feel you get more hot dogs per capita, and therefore you could also. I'm gonna go with the corn on the cob, I think, just for the overall. As I'm dying, I'd rather smell corn water than hot dog water.
Follow-up question.
Yeah.
Would you rather eat 5 hot dogs or 5 cobs of corn?
Oh, 5 hot dogs.
Mm. Okay.
Because I think it'd be easier.
Oh, I'm just saying for your enjoyment.
Yeah, probably for enjoyment too, because that's a lot of work. I like a corn on the cob. But the jaw is pretty much over it after one. I think trying to get through 4 more is going to be a lot of work.
Loosen that bad boy up, baby.
Just unhinge it, dog. Eat corn the long way.
The long way. That's for Micah.
I know. I love you. Love you.
Bye.